Let's get it. Hour number three. Go into the weekend strong. Yes, I'm not in tomorrow. So my weekend starts. Come on, seriously, come strong. Broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio, I'm Jim Rome. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Joey Vendetta is in tomorrow for me. In the meantime, I've got open phones this segment. I've got Sam Amick, an NBA insider for USA Today. He's brilliant at what he does. That's coming up next segment. Alvy's 4 days that were. Alvy is brilliant at what he does. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Very quickly, before I go back to the phones, 1-800-636-8686. Let's talk UCLA basketball. Since I'm not in tomorrow, let's close the book on this. The three UCLA basketball players accused of shoplifting in China did arrive home on Tuesday. And nobody, believe me, nobody was happier or more pumped than I was. It was all I could do to keep from meeting them at the airport myself and driving them back to campus. Why? Because I thought yesterday would be the last time I would ever have to talk about them, and frankly, that was the best news I've heard in a long time. And just as I was about to start planning a parade through downtown LA to celebrate the fact that we would never have to talk about this whole thing ever again, they go and they have a press conference. Great. The three players threw on matching polo shirts and issued statements yesterday. Here is a sample, starting with Cody Riley.
I want to start off by saying how embarrassed and ashamed I am for disappointing my family, my teammates, my coaches, and the entire UCLA community. I can assure you that I will never do anything again to jeopardize UCLA's reputation and as my own.
All right. Then it was LiAngelo Ball's turn.
Sorry for stealing from the stores in China. I didn't exercise my best judgment, and I was wrong for that. I apologize to my family, my coaches, my teammates, and UCLA for letting so many people down. I also apologize to the people of China for causing them so much trouble. I'm a young man. However, it's not an excuse for making a really stupid decision.
No, it's not. And I'm still waiting on an apology to me, LiAngelo. I apologize to Jim Rome for making him talk about this so much and having to watch it all. And then Jalen Hill, who also jumped in.
What I did was stupid. There's just no other way to put it. I hope that you can forgive my stupid, childish actions.
That's good. That's strong. In fact, they all were pretty good. They all were pretty strong. I especially like Jalen Hill, though, just saying, quote, what I did was stupid. There's no other way to put it. I hope you can forgive my stupid and childish actions. Listen, while they didn't take questions, I thought they came off as remorseful. Coached up? Maybe. Who knows? I'm not even sure it matters at this point. I'm not sure how many teenagers wouldn't need to be coached up before rolling out to a presser like that. The key thing was they didn't show up to that presser and blow it off. They said what they had to say. So the three players admitted to shoplifting from not one, but three stores. For some reason, some of you still don't know that detail of the story. It wasn't just that Louis Vuitton store. It was three stores. And because of that, they've been suspended indefinitely. What that means is no practicing, no traveling to games, and no wearing UCLA apparel during games. As for what indefinitely means, that's a different story. The question's always going to be, does the punishment fit the crime? And the answer is, in this case, it's pretty hard to say. I mean, what's appropriate punishment for shoplifting and for doing it where they did it? I mean, you get popped grabbing some stuff at a Walgreens in Westwood, you're probably held out during warm-ups. Maybe you miss a half. Maybe you miss a full game if you got something really nice. But you get nabbed trying to steal sunglasses and other items in China, it's going to be different, especially since it was an especially dumb and embarrassing incident for everybody. An international incident at that, the president got involved. But anybody who is suggesting that they should be kicked out of school or suspended for the entire season is overreacting and hot-taking and spewing lava. I mean, kicked out of school, suspended for the entire year? Why don't you just ban them from the sport of basketball for life? No playing basketball, no watching basketball, no thinking about basketball for the rest of their days on the planet. I'll tell you why I say that. The truth is, there are athletes who get arrested for DUI, as an example, who don't get kicked out of school or suspended for an entire season. And that's a hell of a lot worse than shoplifting. Shoplift and you embarrass yourself and your school. drive under the influence and you put everybody at risk. So really, there's not a manual for this. You can't look up at the chart, you know, like that two-point conversion chart. You can't look up at the chart and say, okay, shoplifting, let's see, go to the line, three stores in China equals X number of games suspended. I would say this, a couple of games is not enough. An entire season is too much. Maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 games, 12 games. Maybe it's at a conference, and that puts you at about 12 games. You know, maybe that's what it is, half the season. Do that, then move on. Because the fact is, and I mentioned this earlier, the real punishment is for everybody else who had to cover that story. If we never talk about this ever again, it will still be way too soon. In fact, if we're talking about this next week or next month, I'm going to start thinking that I'm getting punished worse than the players. And I didn't commit that crime. They did. Why am I paying the price for a crime that they committed? Hopefully this is it. So if you want to talk about it this hour. Because I don't want to talk about it again. Dear Rome, why would UCLA punish LiAngelo Ball? He leads the team in steals. Signed, Silly Nick Saban. Student PHX, unwore guys who make any kind of joke towards the golf cart drink girl. Damn, Steve, I didn't know you were so chivalrous. I'll stand up. All right, like I said, if you want to talk about this, if you want to talk about this, do it right now. Because I'm not doing this next week. This story had best not jump the weekend. Let's go to Matt in L.A. Matt, good to have you back. What's up, Matt? How are you?
Snags and honor as usual. Hey, real quick before the UCLA stuff. Memo to SoCal guys and guys all over the nation. If you're out of elementary school, don't wear Uggs under any circumstances out in public for the love of God. All right, man. So, Van Smack, hey, check it out. As far as this UCLA thing, I think, man, even Plaschke said, these guys actually do deserve to be gone the whole year, and this is why. About 6 years ago, a laptop came up missing, and it was tied back to some UCLA fellas, and they missed a year, and if I remember right, even one of them transferred. So there's already precedence on that. Now, as far as LiAngelo Ball, a.k.a. Jello Testicle, and the LV3, hey, man, they caused the damn international incident. If it was any of the clones kids or even Jake or you know, they have better judgment obviously, but if anybody tried that crap overseas, hey, Donald Trump ain't saying a damn thing, and they're in the clink for about 10 years, Romy. So
Matt, talk to me. Why is LiAngelo Ball quote Jello Testicle?
Oh man, come on, bro. He's sitting here disgracing the name of UCLA. And not only that, his nickname is Jello. He wants to be a big baller. Hey, well, what else is a ball? A testicle, especially when it messes up. So that's what you are, Jello. Jello testicle, unless you make up for it. You better stand up and do something, some community work. You better start mending fences all over communities because, hey, this was not cool. You put a black eye on America and one of the greatest institutions on the West Coast, the UCLA brand, which he has no business even repping. That's all I got, Romy.
Matt in L.A. Damn, what a takedown that was. You got that, quote, Jello testicle? He's like, I'm not going to call him a ball. He's a testicle. Drop that mic, Matt. Keep moving. Because it was a, quote, black eye for all of America, and that he's got some work to do. He's got some bridges to rebuild. He's got some fences to mend. He's got to make it up to everybody. He's got to do work in the community. Otherwise, he's Jello testicle. Damn, Matt. See some of the reaction of Matt already. Jeff in SoCal tweets, bro, don't come at my Uggs, Matt. That's where I draw the line. Ugg Nation. You know, that might have actually been even more offensive than him calling LiAngelo Ball Jello testicle. The Ugg Nation's rising up already. I think what he said was, if you're a male over the age of 12, you should not be wearing Uggs in public. Yeah, I'm going to be totally transparent about this. I'll be real. I'm part of that UGG Nation, not in public. But I've got slippers. Man, it's a nice product. Come wintertime, you're happy you have those things. I'll tell you something else about the UGGs. I pack UGGs. I pack my slippers. And I'm not a big slipper guy generally. I'm more of like, I'm like an UGG guy. I'm not a bathrobe guy. I'm not a slipper guy. But there's something about the UGGs, man. I bring them with me on my road trips. And when I got to get into the hotel room, especially in New York, man, it is cold as hell. In New York, I'm not accustomed to that. Like, the hotel rooms are freezing until you crank the heat up. Best be sure that after a day of traveling to get to New York, where I've got a couple of hours to do some prep and fallout, hell yes, I'm going to rock the UGGs in that New York hotel room. I'm not wearing them in public. I don't go knee-high UGG boots. I don't go like that. But I've got a pair of slippers. They're black and they're pretty badass. I like them. I'm not ashamed to say it. Roamers, ironically, UGGs is what people say when you say, let's go to Matt in L.A. Frank and Raleigh. Let's go to Matt in L.A. UGGs! All right, Frank. I feel you. Anybody want to respond to Matt in L.A. doing what Matt in L.A. does? It's not the first time he's done that. Matt likes to change up with gloss and handles. And he likes to gloss people certain things like, well, that Jell-O testicle. I could have swore the guy once came at Donovan McNabb with something like Hot Dogovan McSlab. You know, like really nonsensical stuff that's really not very funny, but it's kind of Matt and his brand so he can get away with it. You know, the same guy who glossed Andy Reid, Andy Feed. Hey, Matt, you sound like me circa 1993, but not nearly as funny. Andy Feed. All right, then. I've got Sam Amick coming up next. He's good. He's sharp. He'll be all over the NBA. Sam Amick, USA Today, NBA Insider, joins me next segment. And then on the back end, that one fat segment. It's not too late for you to get through.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It's time to replace your battery. You want trusty professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts, and they'll help you choose a superstar battery that is an exact fit for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I've got Sam Amick coming up momentarily. On the back end of that, I've got one fat segment to end the week. I'm not in tomorrow. Joseph Vendetta is. He'll have a great show for you like he always does. Stephen Crowtown tweets, can you give Matt in L.A. the schmacky Schmittle helicopter without giving him a golden ticket? Nicely done. I guess I could. I can't take back what I have not yet given to him. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. But that's pretty funny. At the Miano Pan tweets, Jell-O testicle is actually Matt's one and only good contribution to the jungle in 137 calls.
Jell-O testicle.
That's his gloss for LiAngelo Ball. That's fresh, Matt. Very clever, Matt. Hey, Matt, keep that on the local shows. Don't bring that around here. That's why you call those shows. I know you want to break out your great material for the big stage, but it didn't work. We're joined right now by an NBA insider for USA Today Sports, also the host of the NBA A2Z podcast. Sam Amick is my guest. Sam, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Romy, doing great. Thanks for having me, pal.
Always good to have you, Sam. Thanks. It's only November, Sam, and the belief had been that nothing big ever happens in the NBA in November, so I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around what happened last night at Staples. You covered this game for quite some time now. What do you make of what you saw from Joel Embiid last night?
I mean, it was unbelievable. The part that I'm having so much fun with, and I think a lot of NBA fans are too, is that, all right, we know the Warriors are dominant. We know that it's probably still going to be either them against the Cavs or the Celtics. And I feel like we can kind of compartmentalize, wait for that drama to unfold down the line. But right now, you're getting this incredible wave of young talent that you get to enjoy night in, night out, and get a glimpse of who's coming up next. And last night, I mean, it was supposed to be the perfect storm where on both sides the young guys were killing it. Obviously, Lonzo struggled big time, but between Embiid and Simmons, and not only what they did last night, but what they've been doing on the regular, it's incredible. And then Joel last night, I mean, that stat line has never happened in the history of the NBA. You know, 46-15, 7 assists, 7 blocks, it just has never happened. All the great players who have come through, it was something else to watch.
You know, it's never happened, and he did it in 34 minutes, and he did it when he said his conditioning's, quote, only at 69%. Now, one of the things you wrote about, Sam, after the game was, quote, if healthy, the 76ers big man who missed 51 games as a rookie has a chance to be one of the best players in league history. Look, the guy hasn't played 50 games yet, and you're not prone to hyperbole, and you don't throw around phrases like that very often. How special can he be?
He's incredible because you see the skill set, and it's kind of like you alluded to. I mean, what I also wrote is that there's no qualifier more daunting than if healthy. And so that, I mean, 51 games missed as a rookie obviously doesn't even tell his story. You're talking about 2 seasons missed prior to that. He's already had so much time on the shelf. But when he's out there, and like you said a second ago too, when he's not even close to tip-top shape, his skill set in the post, his ability to shoot, his confidence, his swagger, his size, what he does on the defensive end too, it's unstoppable. I mean, Mark Jackson's calling the game last night. Another guy that, I mean, Mark's an entertaining commentator, but I don't hear him make grandiose statements too often either, and he's dropping the name of Hakeem the Dream to compare him to Joel last night, and it's because mainly I think the footwork. I mean, he's doing Euro steps around Andrew Bogut and just finding every which way to score. It's incredible stuff.
No, his footwork's amazing. I was shocked to see what he could do. And then the guy will step out and knock down a 3-point shot. I mean, I've never seen a big man quite like that. And again, he hasn't played 50 games. Sam Amick is my guest. Now, Sam, you spent some time with Draymond Green recently, and you mentioned that you didn't have the Warriors on top of your power rankings. You know how competitive Draymond is. How did he react to that news?
It was kind of funny. I was almost one of those moments where, like, I thought the comfort level was so good that would roll right off his back, but I kind of forgot who I was talking to.
Right.
And his face scrunched up a little bit, and he just looked at me with that, basically that emoji of the sideways look.
Yeah.
That's what I got from Draymond. And so a little bit of regret sharing that with him, and I basically changed topics. All right, let's keep it moving anyways. Let's talk Cavs. You know, he's competitive, but he knows, man. They got off to it's not a slow start by other team standards, but – you know, a little bit of a slow start, and they are absolutely killing teams right now. And like I wrote in a different story this week, if you break down margin of victory, they're on pace to be, better in that category than they were when they won 73 games and more dominant than they were last season, too. I mean, this stuff lately has been crazy.
We're talking to Sam Amick. So they've been to 3 straight finals. It's a lot of games. It's a lot of minutes. How do they go about dealing with the fatigue?
It's a mental thing, and I think they're pretty – you know, well-positioned to handle it based on the collection of their personalities. Nobody more so than Steve Kerr. I mean, if you talk about the absolute perfect job description to be the leader of a group of young guys and veterans who are, you know, trying to – that's a good problem to have, right, to try to keep your head in the right place after going to the finals 3 straight times. So why not have the guy who's actually done it himself, Steve Kerr, been there, done that, can tell stories about – those Bulls teams that he was on and helped these guys through it. And, you know, Draymond, one of the moments early on this season that I think is stuck in my head that set a tone for this topic is that when they beat the Clippers in LA and they had their way with them after that slow start, he really candidly admitted to the reporters afterwards that you know, they just hadn't cared enough about defense. They hadn't cared enough and had that burning desire to go get a W and to walk out of the building as, you know, the victor, so to speak. And that kind of finally happened against the Clippers and then kept happening from there. I think they had to kind of get reminded how much fun even regular season basketball can be. But in the context of that, you're talking about very specific, deliberate minute management and, you know, calculated decisions about, you know, guys and when they might take nights off and you know, monitoring the workload in a way that, as he also talked about, you know, LeBron and his Cavs are not able to right now.
Sam Amick joining us. In fact, that's where I was going next. Speaking of fatigue in minutes, LeBron leads the league in minutes with more than 38 per game. Draymond said that should be a cause for concern for Cavalier fans and the Cavs themselves. Is that Draymond trolling, or does he have a point there?
No, he's got a point. I'm kind of – that friendship he has with LeBron I find so interesting because I think mainstream America that barely pays attention to basketball, if you ask them what they know about those two guys, all they're going to think about is, you know, is that incident in the finals a couple of years ago when Draymond got suspended, and you would kind of have them framed as mortal enemies. These guys are friends, and these guys have business partnerships together with the Uninterrupted company that they do media stuff with, and so – that was essentially me picking his brain because I know he's not afraid to give his opinion and his perspective on other teams. And I think he's got a point. And actually, LeBron was asked about it last night from Joe Varden of Cleveland.com. One of the beat writers for the Cavs had kind of taken what Draymond said. To Joe's credit, he didn't just take the headline. He shared everything with LeBron. And LeBron said, absolutely, Draymond's right. And he said, the problem is we just haven't had that luxury. We're going to try to get that done down the road. But, you know, there's bigger priorities right now than keeping his minutes down.
Well, and they've got to get Isaiah Thomas back. Now, you spoke to him recently. What is your sense as to where he is mentally right now when it comes to dealing with his rehab process?
He's in a good place. I'm going to have a lot more on that front in the next couple of days. Probably the first story was kind of just capturing the fact that he's doing this docuseries that he worked on for a long time, and they're going to put it on Players Tribune. It started today called Book of Isaiah 2. But his mindset is he's getting close, and he's getting fired up. And, you know, anybody who covers the league, follows the league, you know his story. The guy's got this incredible underdog tale, pick 60th in the draft. Everybody always tells him he can't do it. He finds a way to do it. So he feels like this is going to be the latest example of that he's going to come in, find a way to click with this group, and do some great things. If I had to handicap the timeline, on the one hand, the Cavs, I've been real sensitive, not wanting to put a timeline on it whatsoever. But January 1st kind of started circulating as an unofficial target date of sorts. And I think if things continue to go really well, I would not be surprised if we didn't see Isaiah before then. I know he's hoping to get back, you know, even in this calendar year.
And that should be a very different team when he does. Before you go, let me ask you, Sam, about the Celtics. They've won without Al Horford for a few games. Kyrie Irving's been a bit banged up, and they don't have Gordon Hayward, of course. What do you make of what Brad Stevens has done with that Boston team?
Incredible stuff. I mean, every time I wonder if we are overhyping Brad Stevens in the media circles, I go and I read everything from the Boston media, and I listen to the interviews. I actually just heard one of the best out there, Ace Rod Blakely, talking about how in that Celtics locker room, from top to bottom, that these guys, you know, if you ask them to go build a statue of Brad Stevens, they might go do it. They are that loyal to him. They are that high on him. They truly believe that he is the X factor and the key to them being put in a position to succeed on both ends of the floor. That's what a coach is supposed to do. You know, he's no nonsense to the point where, you know, they hear what they need to hear, but he's not one of those guys that's going to drive you into the ground. It's magical stuff so far what they're doing, especially defensively. I mean, they're not only the best defense in the league with a guy in Kyrie who is widely considered to be a bad defender, they are, you know, far and away the best defense in the league. So it's crazy stuff.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that because I was going to say, and set me straight if I need to be set straight, but I actually think that I see Kyrie playing some defense. Is that me or is he actually playing defense?
No, it's not. I mean, it's a real thing. You know, I heard – and again, I'm piggybacking on Sherrod, but he was talking about the fact that Kyrie has become functional, and he's driving guys the right way, and he's staying within the team concept. And you see that every once in a while. I mean, honestly, Jim, like, the longer I cover the league, I'm starting to, you know, that old coaching adage about how the one and the five spot, point guard and center, are the end-all, be-all of defense. You know, I don't believe that as much as I used to. It's certainly a positive if you've got a Chris Paul up top and a DeAndre Jordan down low, so to speak, or somebody like that, or Rudy Gobert. But, you know, if you have a certain system and you have five guys on a string and you have guys who are dedicated, and even what Draymond said a couple weeks ago about the passion and the dedication to rotating, to helping the helper, all of those things, you know, those are the most important things of a great defense.
Sam Mamick, my guest, also the host of the NBA A to Z podcast. Sam, what are you doing on the next episode of your podcast?
We shall see. I think I might share some of that Isaiah audio from that chat. We got into kind of everything, about a 15-20 minute conversation, and then probably just go around the league. I mean, I got a bunch of OKC material that I still haven't turned, trying to analyze how those guys continue to try to come together, and they've had some good games lately. So just kind of making the rounds. Should be fun.
Hey, Sam, it's so interesting, right? The way content is, the way we all try to push our content out on our various platforms. How do you approach the podcast? Because you have to do your work for USA Today. I mean, do you try and keep some content? Does it make more sense to live on your podcast than it would with USA Today? Or how do you approach it?
It's a great question, and, I mean, there's not an exact formula. Week by week, we essentially try to have the smartest strategy. I mean, this is a good example with the Isaiah situation where, you know, right now I'm holding back a lot of content to simply kind of check the box of discussing the project he's doing. And then even if we publish a lot of the interview in written form on the website, the reality is I try to put myself in the shoes of the fan and the reader. Everybody is so busy that you might have missed it on the website. So maybe you catch it on the podcast. It's, you know, I used to be against having any kind of duplication, and now I've changed in that regard where I kind of feel like we try to get as much mileage out of these different interviews and conversations that we have as possible and just try to paint that picture of these players in the NBA.
You know, if it'll make you feel better, Sam, it's so true, because even doing what I do, as long as I've done this, I used to be of the same mindset that I've got 3 hours, so I don't want to duplicate or replicate information. But the fact is, people don't listen for all 3 hours, and you have to constantly reset the audience and reset the topic. So there's nothing wrong with doing that. Sam, great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. I always look forward to it, and you crushed it again.
Always enjoy it, Romy. Thanks for the support. Thanks,
Al. You got it, Sam. Take care. I got nothing but respect for you, Sam. You are very good at your gig. NBA Insider, USA Today Sports, also the host of the NBA A to Z podcast, Sam Amick. All right, we'll come right back. And when we do, I've got the 4 days that were. If you're on hold, you might get through. We're not done yet. Time now for a sports update. If you've been waiting on that, here it is. And if you... Why pay more for annual protection motor oil when you can get Castrol Edge extended performance for less? It goes 15,000 miles between oil changes, titanium strong Castrol Edge. It's more than just an oil. It is liquid engineering. This email reads, Rome, I know it's not an ATP day, but yesterday you had some sad, monotone old man in studio to explain how to find the podcast. Who was he, and why does he hate his job so much? Wore the 837. Dan in Denver. Forget the name. Yavi, do you have sound of that old man? That was not some old man who was sad and monotone and who hates his job. One, the guy's not old. Two, he's really not sad. And three, he does love the job. He's talking about Hawk. What? Sparrow loves the podcast life. Not only does he love, well, first of all, he loves pretty much everything about the gig. I'm not just saying that, it's true. I see the guy comes in early every single day, he's all about it. He knows where he is, he respects the opportunity, he respects the legacy of the program. The guy wants to be here. He's not sad. He certainly does not hate his job, but he loves the pod. And he loves to help people that can't find the pod because he believes deeply in the pod. You know, what good is it for me to do a great interview or have a great story or have a great guest if you can't find it and some of you can't? So, Dan, there's a lot of things that we can crack on the Sparrow for, and I have, but not those things. He's not sad. He is a little monotone. That's why he's an EP and not a host. But he does not hate his job. In fact, dude's good at his job, and he likes the job. Dan in Denver, RTN. Dan, do you have a job? What is your job? Dan in Denver, FTN. Speaking of guys that are good at their jobs, Alvy. Alvy is the best in this business at his job. Now, bro, you might take that soundbite and go to your boss and try and get more money out of him, and it won't work. But, and don't take this. Try and stick this in an ATM. Alvin, you're the best ever at your gig. I've been around this thing a long, long time. I have never been around a guy that can do what you can do, Alvin. Try and jam that into an ATM and see what happens. But for whatever it's worth, Alvin, you are the best. Are you ready to roll your 4 days that were? Let's do this thing. Welcome to the jungle. A very good Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. Okay, hope you had a great weekend. I had a run to New York. I am back in SoCal. Had a great weekend there. Good to be home. I want to start with the Cowboys. I could have started any number of different places in the NFL. Let's start with the Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
Because Jerry Jones had himself a couple of days, didn't he?
Yeah! Claiborne strips Dak Prescott.
Threatening to sue his fellow owners, losing Ezekiel Elliott, and then getting hammered 27-7 by the Atlanta Falcons.
Fail clown.
Sue his fellow owners. After that game, Jerry had to be thinking about suing his offensive line. Jason Larkin for joining us.
As you can tell, he's got 28 owners in his corner. What the hell is Jerry Jones going to do to mend fences? There's people in the league saying, hey, Stephen Jones, step up.
Step your game.
Your dad is taking this too far.
Recovered by New England. Oh, man, you talk about sucking the life.
There is not a more disappointing team in the NFL right now than the Denver Broncos. Jonathan I'd Jones, say the Giants, John, but again, even they beat Denver.
Better phone, better takes, Josh in Detroit.
Better phone, same terrible takes, Josh in Detroit.
He's also fat, but he's also ripped.
Theo Riddick is my guest. Can you be fat and ripped?
No, no. There's no way. There's no way you can be shredded and fat. There's no way. There's no way.
Just don't want to make a mistake. No,
there's a line drive in there. Saints picked off!
Last night, incredibly, had me longing for the good old days. Kiko Alonso was decapitating Joe Flacco.
He's decapitating.
Hey! And Dominican Sue was trying to strangle Ryan Mallett. Brad Keselowski is my guest. When you look back on the feeling of winning that title, what comes to mind first?
A lot of beer. Drink a lot of beer
good.
That night.
I like it.
My memory's not that great, Jim.
Good.
But it was a lot of fun.
10-5 touchdown, Robert Woods!
Rams wide receiver Robert Woods is my guest. Did you think this thing could turn as quickly as it has?
Not like this. I think we're really rolling. Jared has been balling, playing really, really well, leading this team. You know, we saw the potential, but right now it's happening. It's rocking for us.
Let's see. Matt B. Matt B. likes horseplay. Let me think.
It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, a hit. Wait, that woman. Give me the woman.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's Sarah
it's
Jessica
happening.
Parker. Holy crap. Matt B. is Matthew Broderick, and that's why he loves horseplay. Bryce Love joining us.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, and you know we appreciate that Jungle Karma.
Come on, Ted. Do you think that I would get on nationally syndicated radio with several thousand radio stations and 8 billion listeners and try to convince you this was, quote, exclusive audio from the Josh Beckett incident? How do you follow the show? How do you not know that that was a joke? We're joined right now by Paul Kariya.
Thanks, Jim, and I want to say thank you very much for all the support you've given me as a hockey player all through my career. I really appreciate it, Jim.
Hell, does anybody even know how they started the season and whether or not they won that game that they went to China to play? I don't know. And the reason I don't know is because of all this Louis Vuitton bull. I hope I never hear about this ever again. That was a tongue I slapped on my mic.
Every single medal they ever won in every single Olympic Games across every single sport, they essentially had cheated and doped.
Liz in Fall City.
Blake Shelton awarded the sexiest man alive. Were they drunk? Guy is a fat Ewok disguised as a country hick who allegedly has talent.
Email.
There's a reason he's on The Voice and not The Looks.
Blake Shelton is not the sexiest man alive and he is just fat.
Email.
If I have to ruin Blake Shelton for the Jags, I'll take one for the team.
Take him home for the night and ruin
like
him.
He's a slump buster.
I'm out.
Telvin Smith is my guest.
You got to make sure you have your plan B in case your plan A don't work. And my response was, I only focused on plan A because plan B was a distraction from plan A. This is it, and that's what you see.
Kyle, good to have you on. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. I didn't know when you were going live, and I was like, holy crap, I am not ready. It was like a bucket list thing for me to do my whole life since like middle school.
Lays it in. Sidesteps.
Joel Hans Booby Embiid said again, I could not love this guy anymore unless he were my own son.
Wore out jeans, holes in them, all cut up. I was ashamed to go to school because my jeans were wore out, only because we didn't have any better.
Damn, Nick. Stop it. Greg Marshall is my guest.
To be honest, I'm kind of glad. I don't want to see anyone go to jail. I really don't. I want them out of our game if that's what they're doing.
Don Maker celebrating a victory by playing a game of duck-duck-goose at midcourt without their buttholes ever leaving the floor.
Butthole.
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 Don't
wear Uggs.
I actually think that I see Kyrie playing some defense.
What?
No, it's not. I mean, it's a real thing.
Any more fire from you and you'll burn this house to the ground.
Check us out, man. We're on 26 times nationally.
Package Pirates.
Scott Tolzien.
Maybe Andy Dalton.
The old fella.
Blake Shelton is fat.
Besides my best judgment.
Jello testicle.
F you too.
Good night now!
Alvin, I know you're not supposed to ask a magician how they do tricks, but how the hell do you do that? When do you do that, and how do you do that during the show? Alvin DeLauro, the best that ever was. And also, do not forget, if you haven't seen it yet, YouTube Alvin DeLauro State Championship. This guy was a freaking wizard with the rock. Look it up. You will not believe it. Once again, I'm off tomorrow. I've got to take care of some family business. But Joey Vendetta will be in. And knowing Joseph, he'll probably have some ducats to give away. Some hot takes. Fire. He'll take telephone calls. He'll be all about it. Joseph Vendetta in tomorrow. Huge call coming up momentarily. You know, you holiday shop online, but crooks holiday shop on your porch. Blink's got crazy fire in their copy. I love these guys. You see, cops call them package pirates. Rome calls them scumbags. Stop the package pirates and the scumbags this holiday season by getting Blink Home Security Camera. Visit blinkbeforeyoubuy.com/Rome and get 10% off today. blinkbeforeyoubuy.com/Rome. This email reads, Ahoy, Jimmy.
Arrgh, matey. Me hears you've been spouting at the mouth about me and my fellas. Shiver me timbers, Jimmy. You best start minding your words. Even with me dandy sunken patch, I can still see making ye walk the plank if yous keep insisting on calling me and my fellow scumbags.
Scurvily yours, package pirates. Wore hot lassies and vitamin C, Dan Lusks. I did the best I could with that. That's just not my game. It's not where I live. Scumbags, leave the packages on the porch. Or Blink will nail you. That's it. Darren in Illinois, you would have won. In fact, I should have played you instead of reading his email. Sam Amick, Bruce Feldman, and Greg Marshall were my guests. In case you missed any of that, dial it back. Check out the Daily Jungle. We still have that podcast. We've got two podcasts. Again, I'm off tomorrow. Joseph Vendetta is in. I want to thank the XR4TI for coming in, knocking it out. Clones, have an outstanding weekend. More of the same. And listen, one more pop for the Jim Rohn podcast. Ryan Fogel is amazing. His documentary, Icarus, is a great, great watch. And I think there's a lot of things going on internationally in the sporting community that you have no idea about. And you should listen to this. It's a great, great episode. Episode 13, go to iTunes to look for it or go to jimrohn.com. Have a great weekend. See you next week. I'm out.